man. Why can't we record what you were doing?
No way, man. That was all you. You are the dancer. You are the dancer. Man. That was my turn. So Eric likes to dance with me. Intro video is showing. So, well, what's happening, guys? Welcome to, what is this? This is our third Indian
live stream. Yeah. Mac, are we on the internet?
Man, are we on the internet? We are.
Says we are right in the corner.
It says so in the corner. We are trying to be everywhere on the internet. So we already got a couple people on. If you guys are on, jump in the comment section, say hello, and we will start this ball rolling with our show. If you are new or you haven't checked out what we're doing before with the shorts, talking for about 30 minutes, just about whatever pops into our mind during the week that has to do with gaming, painting, minis, whatever it is, the things that we love and that we love to talk about. So, Mr. Huffman Worldwide, yes. Regale us with a story about what it is we will be talking about this evening, sir.
Well, everybody out there, I'm going to go ahead and say welcome to our live stream. And today, what we're going to be talking about is themes and games. And a little story behind this is, you know, kind of got me thinking earlier, like almost a week ago, what are we going to talk about this week? Because, you know, a lot of times they're meant to be our random, me and you always have, where we're talking about stuff. Well, I was looking through Jim, our friend of the show, Jim the tabletop engineer, his RPG and War Game Supply book. And there happened to be a little ad in there for a game. The
J.C. Penney Christmas catalog.
There was an ad in there for a game, Zulu Ops. Cheap game. It's a skirmish, miniatures, you know, zombie game. And it got the gears going in my head about just zombie games in general. And then that kind of went to themes in games in general. And it got me thinking, you know, that'd be kind of a neat conversation to talk about. So I thought we'd talk about themes and games tonight for 30 minutes.
So my question for you is this. When you saw the Zulu Ops zombie game, how long was it before you bought it since you have a zombie addiction?
At least a day. I held out for
a day.
I was actually driving in the mail truck, so that's why I didn't get to click on it right away.
And then you forgot when you got home and had dinner, and then you were like, oh, man. Game. I'll get it tomorrow.
So it's all in it's in the mail already.
Well, where's it coming from? UK or is it?
This is coming from the East Coast. It's somewhere in up by Lake Erie, in Pennsylvania. So it was a hobby store's website that I found it on. So, but we may talk about that more on the regular show soon. So.
Maybe. Well, you got to play a game first, but since it's too cold to play games up there right now, you should perhaps consider moving to a warmer locale to, you know, play games. There it is. That's what I was looking for. The bell. The bell. All right. If you're just joining us, jump on the comments, say hello, and let's get this ball rolling. What's your favorite theme? Because we've kind of already given it away, but tell us.
I mean, I'm a sucker for anything that has a zombie theme in it. I mean, I have so many, whether it's an RPG, miniature, card game, you know, any tabletop version that has Walking Dead in it, I probably got it or got some of it.
Well, it's like I was saying to you when you threw this out there and you were like, okay, well, what's that one game style that you just can't pass up? And I was like, that's not a fair question.
Yeah, I told Mac, I said, I'm going to ask you this. If you were on a desert island and you could only take one game, what would you take?
Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I couldn't. But I might have to go with what we were talking about earlier, and I might have to go ahead and take the hated game, the most despised game that there is, Candyland, so that I could choke myself on the plastic pieces of it. Now, for those of you who might be out there listening, if you have children, you understand my disdain for Candyland because 12 million rounds of Candyland is just not cool. Eric turns off the heat during live shows and recording because of our loud furnace. You knew I was putting that one up.
Yeah, why you throw me under a bus like that?
You know that. Ring that bell. That was one from Mary. That was one from Mary. Okay, it's too cold up
there, man. She gets a bell.
It was 66 here today. So,
one of the things I wanted to bring up too is why do you think a theme is a must for a game? I mean, what makes that so important?
For me, I don't necessarily know that it's a theme that makes it important for me. And we've talked about this on the regular podcast several times. You're just getting hammered in the
comments. I am tonight, man.
You're just getting hammered. And I mean, I think it's only fair that we should share that with people that mm-hmm. your wife and family is harassing you.
Yeah.
But for me, it's how much I can build a story out of it. How much of a story is already included, to begin building my own story from that. At that point, if it's got that in it, I don't care if it's post-apocalyptic, I don't care if it's steampunk, zombies, whatever. I got a soft spot in my heart for zombies too. But not the rabid obsession of the modern era with zombies. I remember watching the old Night of the Living Dead. That was
like those two guys there.
I got a feeling that your wife may be going over to visit somebody because it's way warmer in their houses than it is in yours, apparently.
That's right. I'm mean.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we were that warm outside today. But so what's your catchphrase for today about some examples? What is your catchphrase that you came up with that was so creative?
Well, I mean, a theme to me in general, for anybody in general, is what draws a player into that game. So I think it's an important thing. But we wanted to come up with some examples, and there we have Dylan saying hi. Hi, Dylan. Thank you for showing up. But some of my catchphrase for our themes, the examples we want to go over today is pirates, ninjas, and zombies. Oh my. I think that kind of sums up, you know, your general, what themes you would find in games.
Yeah.
We kind of want to just go over some examples, whether it be, and we already listed some of them. It's zombies, vampires, or you could be more general, like the steampunk.
Or just horror in general for the horror. Zombies and vampires. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, there's not a real big horror market.
That's a hard one. It's hard to do horror right in any kind of game, whether it's board game or even RPG game.
It's really
hard to do that.
I agree, because it's kind of like you gotta set a mood. Now, on that note, I do think that Blacksite Studios did a pretty good job with their new game, Don't Look Back. I thought they did a pretty good job of giving you that sense of urgency.
The dread.
That dread of, oh my gosh, just because of the way the mechanic works. So if that's something you guys are interested in, check that out for Blacksite Studios. Discover Games carries it. I'm pretty sure they still have some copies left, but it was a pretty cool game. We had the opportunity to play it at Mace. But as far as horror genre goes, I got to say my absolute favorite go-to for anything horror is RPG. And you and I agree on this one, I think, pretty seriously, and that is White Wolf, The World of Darkness. And I don't even care if it's vampire or werewolf or mage or changeling or wraith or any of the other books, really. And there were ones that I didn't care as much for, but I think that did horror well. Well, that one doesn't count. That one's not actually, but that one is a good one. But yeah, the White Wolf games were just, for me, they were just really well done because the majority of the books are story. And because their story, and obviously, I mean, RPG, you're going to get a story anyway, but because it was so heavily written, kind of like a book with some rules in it, you know what I mean? Like a novel with some rules in it.
Yeah.
That really appealed to me on the horror genre. That was my go-to on horror.
Well, some of the other horror examples I have is like for the board gaming world. And I mean, now this is a card game, but Arkham Horror card game. There we go. You know, this is the Cthulhu world where basically it's a race to see how fast you go insane. I mean, that's the whole Cthulhu, you know, background is, yeah, you're investigating a mystery, and it turns out to be some greater old being from different time and space, right. And it's, yeah. I think you go nuts.
Cthulhu Dice is a really fun one, too. There you go. That's where we need to be, right there. Perth, Western Australia, 90. I am all about that, man. I am all about that.
I'll be wearing the shorty shorts there.
You would be wearing your shorty shorts. Your wife would be loving you with your shorty shorts. I know you and I have a bunch of different zombie games, but and just real quick so we can move on to the other ones. There's Fear and Faith by Ganesha Games, which is Song of Blades and Heroes rule set. Last Days by Ash Barker, which is a really good one. Walking Dead. The Ragers one that we just recently discovered out of New Zealand, I believe.
New Zealand, yep.
And you know, there's like zombies sprinkled throughout all of the other games, and then Zombicide and Zombicide Invader.
Yeah, that's what this one is, and this kind of goes into one of our other subjects is IPs.
Right, so Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. So, and some other IPs that you could bring up are like Aliens. Right. You know, you kind of get the double bill with that one, or Hellboy. And a lot of these IPs go into not only just the genres, whether it's horror or fantasy, but they have some pop culture reference to them. Right. So it's like a double draw there. You know, you like zombies and you like this movie, that
particular IP. Yeah. Well, with the horror one too. So this will kind of segue into one of the other genres. One of the other types outside of IP is moving from the horror and moving into steampunk. And the reason I say segue is because of Twisted. So Twisted is kind of, it's got that horror element, particularly if you guys haven't, if you're out there in internet land and you haven't read the stories regarding Nancy, the narrative parts regarding Nancy in the book, and you like horror, she is horror. Nancy scares me. Like when I do the audio stories on the podcast for Nancy, I scare myself. You know what I'm saying? I scare myself. I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to turn all the lights on because I got to record something about Nancy. But that's a good one too. Steampunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, Bob's saying here, along the lines of the horror, he tried playing this with the kids. So sometimes, depending on age and depending on the game itself, it could have that dread and be hard to play.
And I actually did the same thing with Betrayal at House on the Hill with my kids. And they weren't scared while we were playing because I would read the stuff in spooky voices, the cards in spooky voices. And they weren't scared during, but my niece was at my house and she lived across the street. And it was dark outside. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to put the kids to bed. And she's like, can you walk me home? Now, this is a girl that grew up in the woods, living in the dark, never seen a street light, walks across the yard in the middle of the night. And she's like, can you walk me home? I was like, of course I can walk you home. And, you know, of course you got to scare them when you're walking. Come on. Who doesn't, you got to do that, right? Or am I just mean? Okay.
A little bit. A little bit. Right. So what's another theme that we could talk about that's a good one for theme in games?
Well, I think that probably the biggest one that is just rampant is sci-fi. You know what I mean? Sci-fi. There's one for you, Eric. You'll have to answer that one.
That's a horror game that, holy cow, it's Japanese horror. So if you've never seen Japanese horror,
right,
that's some
twisted stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Twisted stuff. Note to Peter Overton, that little segue there, Japanese horror and Twisted, just, you know, throwing that idea out there.
That's good. That's good. Think,
nudge, nudge. But sci-fi.
Yeah, sci-fi is pretty broad. It can cover a lot of different, genres, really. You can have the mashups, like any kind of alien type one is going to be your mashup of sci-fi, or you could go for your old school, spacemen on different planets, like your Buck Rogers, one of our favorites,
Retro Ray-Gun. Yeah, definitely. And I think I always hesitate to do this. I'm not a 40K fanboy, but I don't hate them either. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I think part of the reason there's so much good sci-fi stuff out there is because really they laid a lot of the groundwork. They really did. Love them or hate them, they laid a lot of the groundwork so that we have these things like you've got Star Breach, which is an independent developer game. You've got Stargrave, right? You've got Stargrave coming out, which is going to be the kind of reskinning of the Frostgrave rule set. You've got Core Space. And then in between there, you've got all of this other stuff sprinkled. Star Wars Legion. Bob said he's working on some Star Wars Legion right now.
Yeah.
And Imperial Assault. I mean, Endure the Stars. There's just so much sci-fi stuff out there. And the groundwork was laid. So it's just this, it's this ripe market. And like you were saying with Retro Raygun, you can have everything from that dark, gritty, nasty, basically 40K universe or apocalyptic kind of universe to the shiny ray guns that look like they're everything's made out of chrome.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I mean, that's, they're pretty cool too.
That's your old school sci-fi. Now I got a game for you that it's technically sci-fi, but it could also be along the theme of apocalypse. And that would be I'm gonna grab it here. Urban Manhunt.
Oh, where it's
your running man type of theme. It's the gritty future, like you think of Escape from New York and you know that and type of thing. Man. Now that's considered sci-fi still. But it's not in space, it's just
right
in the future, I guess you could call it.
Okay, Logan's Run-esque, as opposed to being in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Logan's Run. Yeah, definitely. But Urban Manhunt, oh, yeah, holy cow. I didn't even have that one on my list. I don't have a very good list right now. You said we were going to talk about themes, and I went,
too much, overload.
Too soon, not ready. But yes, I mean, I think the sci-fi market, if I had to pick a sci-fi game right now, now I'm gonna say sci-fi and remove apocalyptic because there's one that would win hands down that crosses those two thresholds. But if I'm going just pure sci-fi, not post-apocalyptic, I'm really, really enjoying Core Space right now.
That's all you've been painting and building minis for is that game.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. And one is because you can play it solo, which is, I mean, that's huge.
That's huge for nowadays right now where it's hard to get into the game stores, hard to get groups together.
Well, I think the one good thing about the, you know, the game stores, not people not being able to get out to the game stores and everything, I think the one positive to come out of some of that is that I think that solo play market was always there anyway, but just there was no focus on it because you got people like where I live, there are no game stores within an hour. So there's a lot, sometimes you got no other choice. You just got to play solo.
So I think that
market kind of has always been there. It just hasn't necessarily been tapped into. And now it's really getting tapped into. A lot of the developers are throwing out there, and a lot of them have done it for free. They've just been like, hey, try these out. These are solo rules for my game. And they'll throw them up in their Facebook group or on their Discord or whatever else it is. So that's kind of been mine. And that's the big reason is Core Space being solo.
Okay. And we touched on, let's see, next one, historical. That's a good theme for games. I mean, you go to conventions, there's some conventions that are just based around historical, you know.
Oh yeah.
Play, whether it's like historical reenactment or it could be, you know what? I kind of always looked at Dust Tactics, as like a kind of historic because it takes place during a certain period.
Right.
But it's kind of like an alternative history.
Right.
Is something that threw me into one of my favorite games, Wild West Exodus. It's the Wild West, but you got that steampunk theme in it.
Yep.
You got the Wild West theme in it. And it's, that little alternate history because there's actual historical characters in there. So.
And we actually discovered a little something Wild West just last night. A new stumbled across a new game or had it foisted upon us by Alan at Discover Games. We're not sure how that happened, whether he did it or we forced it, but High Noon, it's not even in Kickstarter yet, I don't think. We'll get more information.
Yeah, we're still researching that one. And that one, just the brief talking we had with him, it was that he has ideas in the future of taking this game system, but putting different wrappings, theme wrapping.
Yeah, reskinning it. Yeah, and I think that's a good idea when you have a good rule set. Mm-hmm. Song of Blades and Heroes, which is a great rule set. I love it. It's really simple, but Song of Blades and Heroes, you can skin that with anything. The way that, I'm not even going to try to butcher my man's last name that created Song of Blades and Heroes. His first name is Andre. That's where I'm going to leave it.
That's where you're going to stop.
That's where I'm going to leave it. I think he's from Italy, and he has, I think, one vowel in his last name and like 17 letters. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But Song of Blades and Heroes, I mean, it does Deep Wars. It does Shadow Sea. He's got Fear and Faith, Ray Guns, Mutants, and something. I mean, there's probably 20 different games. Oh, you like that way? That's my Twisted shirt, baby.
Yeah, Dylan here brings up a good one. That's a historical game. It's a card game. That it's a deck builder, and you're kind of like the first one they did is World War II. One person plays Germans, the other one plays the Allied, and as you're playing scenarios, you're kind of deck building. You're drawing from the deck to build your force and play cards. So it's a card game that you're playing on a board. And it's based in that time period. Right. So that's a good one. That's kind of historical based.
Well, and there was, cause there's the historicals, and then there's like just your military. So you've got your near future games, which I think kind of, and I'm not a near future or even a modern game player for those kind of games. But I think what they try to do with the near future stuff is they try to push it a little bit farther than the current time, so that they can add some elements that aren't necessarily realistic.
Some higher tech
type
of stuff in there. Yeah.
But I actually had the opportunity to play. It looks like Raul's on too. What's happening, Raul? You are correct. Deep Wars uses a slightly modified Song of Blades and Heroes rule set. There's some very, very minimal modifications, but that's what makes it such a great rule set. But not too long ago, and it's over on the YouTube channel and on the podcast, we interviewed Robert Salters from Tabletop Games.
First one that I thought of, and that was a very quick jump right into it type of game with minimal models to play that game.
Yeah, and designed as a solo game. So it was designed that way with a card mechanic, still rolling dice, which is always fun, but was designed with a card mechanic to run the bad guys. And I played a couple of games, and it's fast and furious. It's got a real high escalation. So you'll go from, we were playing it and we were several turns.
I got this.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, this is super easy. What? I'm all over this. And then the next thing you know, that next card flips and you're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What are we going to do? They're everywhere. Cause that's exactly what happened to us in our game. We played two players so that we could kind of get a test run and split our squad up. So we only had four models on our side, but that's a really cool game. And if you guys want to check that one out, the nice thing about that is that you can download it. I think I paid $12.
Yeah, I think it was $12.
Everything.
And that was that Drive Through?
That was that Drive Through RPG. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we are live. We are. Yes. Okay, so Bolt Action, the best historical game ever played. Yeah, so I want to speak to that because I've never actually played Bolt Action, but I was exposed to that particular action phase of pulling dice.
That mechanic, yeah.
Yeah, in Star Breach uses that. And I didn't think that I would like it, which is why I never got into Bolt Action. Plus, I've gotten away from the larger scale, more models kind of anyway, so I don't think I would get into it, but I really liked it. I was really surprised. Kind of like when I play a game where they say there's no dice in this game, and I go, "Ooh, Ooh, did you just say that? Because I'm going to have to go have a little conversation with my dice box now and make them feel better, because you've wounded them deeply for saying something like that. And to just be pleasantly surprised with something like that. I do have one more historical that's kind of out there that I wanted to point out. And that is, especially since we got a couple of guys from Australia on right now. Wow. And that's Tribal and Primeval.
That's right. Yeah. I remember when you first checked that out, going along with the dice thing, like you're talking, no dice rolling.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this.
Yeah. No dice rolling. And you were just using a standard playing card deck, which immediately makes me go, well, that's dumb. I don't like that, because I at least want my cards to look like they're part of the game, kind of thing. And I played it, and again, I was pleasantly surprised. And it was one of those games also, like Song of Blades and Heroes, that is easily reskinned. You can drop kind of whatever time frame you want in there. And it's by Mana Press Games. All that talking was delaying me trying to remember who the manufacturer was. And Raul threw Malifaux up there. Yeah, that's also an excellent game.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of got some of those multiple themes, a little bit of horror, a little bit of Western. Yep. It's got the steampunk kind of atmosphere to it.
Yep. And it's got really nice models.
Yeah. Yeah.
With some really itty bitty teeny tiny parts that you don't want to drop on the floor, because that's just bad. And it's moved on to smaller games. Well, yeah, but I agree with you though. That mechanic was a wonderful mechanic. I would encourage you to check out Star Breach. The rules, I believe, are still free on their website. He did do a run of a hardcover book, and you can buy the dice. I'm pretty sure you could adapt bolt action dice to it, or just D6 to it with no problem. But check out Star Breach, because it uses the same mechanic, and it's a small scale skirmish sci-fi game set pretty much in any setting. It's super generic. You can have Jedis fighting Space Marines. So it's just kind of wide open, and it was designed by the designer Elijah Kellogg for that purpose, so that you could just do whatever you wanted sci-fi, and he uses that mechanic. So you might want to check that out. It's pretty cool. Star Breach.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you again.
Oh no.
You go to an island. What theme game are you taking?
I told you Candyland.
Okay. I'll give you a second chance. Maybe all you right. should so, find
okay, that. Right, so second chance. I don't know. You know what? Honestly, just because I could carry it around with me, I might take
Pokemon.
I might take Pokemon.
Okay.
I might take Pokemon. My kids got me into Pokemon. I'm gonna tell that story because it's a funny story. I'm going to tell it's okay. That my mic may not have picked that up, but my 16-year-old just laughed across the other side of the room. So my kids were all like, "Hey dad, can we get booster packs of Pokemon?" I'm like, "Whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about Pokemon. Some sort of evil slave trade where you travel through the forest and you capture innocent animals and trap them in a little red and white ball and then throw them at each other so that they can fight for their food. I don't know. That's what it sounded like to me." So I'm buying them. And they're all over the house, man. They're everywhere. The cards are everywhere. They're in the seat cushions. They're in the sink. I'm like, all right, you guys, if I find Pokemon cards around the house, they're mine. You can't have them. That's it. You need to take care of them. So about a week later, I got a stack of Pokemon cards like this. Huge stack of Pokemon cards, like 200 cards. So I go to my 16-year-old who plays Pokemon at the time. He was probably like 13 or 14. I'm like, here. I got all these cards. Make me a deck. So that's how I started playing Pokemon. That's my story. I still don't know what all their names are. I know what the guys in my deck do. I don't know what their names are. I know some of them, but I don't know all of them. I had somebody at our church. He comes over. He goes, "Hey, man, look at this cool. You know who that is, don't you? It was a coin." I'm like, "It's a Pokemon." "No, that's one of you know who that is." I'm like, "No, I don't know who that is."
I think that's our chit chat.
Wait a minute, what are you taking?
For what am I taking? Yeah. Okay, I got to pick now, one.
And I also need to know, are we on the same desert island? Because that's going to matter if I got, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who are you going to play if you're by yourself?
That's what I'm saying, right? Maybe I have to take Battle Space since that's solo.
See, I might have to take either Walking Dead, because I think that's solo. I think you can do it solo. Or something like Rangers, where I can do it solo.
Yeah, Rangers you could definitely do solo, no doubt.
And that book's got different time periods in it.
Yes,
so
it does. Yes, it does. Definitely, if you guys want to check that one out as well, Rangers, they're out of New Zealand. I actually got my book in the States, strangely. But anyway, I don't know how that happened. I thought I ordered it from New Zealand, and I got it like 3 days later. I was like, I don't think that's where mine came from. But I think that's all we got, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you guys got any theme ideas or games that fit in these themes, what are your guys' favorite ones?
Yeah.
You can go ahead and I clicked the wrong one. Send it to our email, you know, or you can go over to our Discord and post it on there. We actually have a section on Discord that's just shorts, you know, very similar to this. Different themes. You guys can just start chatting with each other and talk about the different themes and games that you guys like.
Absolutely. Wayne said links for these suggestions. Yeah, I'll jot down some of that stuff and I will definitely throw some links up.
Yeah, if you guys want to go and rewatch these, they will be up in the YouTube channel. We're going to have it on the Facebook page and we'll probably share it over to the Coastal Con Facebook page also. So you guys can rewatch it. If you jumped on here a little bit late, or if you just, you know, you couldn't catch it when we were doing it like right now live. So,
yeah. And last 30 seconds, if anybody has a specific game you heard us mention that you want a link for, because I have 5 kids and I'm fast approaching 50. So the odds that I'm going to remember every game, not real good. I do have a couple of them written down and we'll throw links up. We'll probably throw links up on the Facebook. Thank you very much, Wayne. Appreciate that, man. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to sign off, but please don't forget to go over and you can check out our Discord. If you're looking for the link for that, you can go to our Coastal Con webpage. You'll find the connection for Riot Quest. All right, now stop it. You're going to make me spend money. Riot Quest. But you can go over to the Coastal Con website. You can just Google it, or it's coastaltex.com, like you can see right there. Mm-hmm. And it's got links to just about everywhere you would want to go. It's got our Facebook, our YouTube, the Discord. I think the only link it doesn't currently have is Twitch, because we just started the Twitch, which
was today.
This is our first one on Twitch. And also we are trying out another platform as well, kind of in parallel with YouTube, and it's called Rumble. So if you guys want to check that out, we're over there too. Just trying to invade everywhere because it is the indie invasion. So we're trying to invade. And as usual with our podcast itself, you can check us out on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and probably
numerous other ones that we don't know about, but
there are some strange ones out
there. Yeah, we discover them kind of daily. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then also, if you guys kind of like what we're doing, you can check us out on Patreon/IndieInvasion. We have a bunch of stuff on there. Some of the things are only being posted there, but you do not have to support us to watch it. We kind of put it out there for anybody to go to, visit, and watch and enjoy. But if you feel so inclined to give us some pennies, we would much appreciate that. It keeps the lights on and we'll eventually get Max some headphones.
That's just crazy talk. So no worries, man. We'll catch you next time. We're doing this every Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we're also on Monday nights doing our hobby talk where we're just shooting the breeze, painting stuff and building stuff.
Yep. And thanks for stopping by, Todd. And like I mentioned earlier, check it out. We'll have it up there. You can watch what you missed.
Yep. But in the meantime, guys, when you are out there playing your games and blowing stuff up and all of that other good fun stuff that we all love to do in our games, don't forget to prepare yourselves for the invasion. Catch you next time.